few birthdays in the room, I think. Oh, yes, I see smiles. Birthday month, that's right. Your actual birthday was what day?
Wednesday.
Wednesday. And Ashley's was the same day. All right. Did you wish Grandma happy birthday on her birthday? Good for you. Good for Grandma, too. And I believe Miss Karen Wolf has birthday today. Happy birthday. Anyone else have a birthday today? This month? When? This Friday or last Friday?
Give all the June birthdays stand up.
That's a good idea. If your birthday's in June, stand up with us. Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Well, let's pray a birthday blessing on all of these. Stay standing. Don't sit down. Father, we thank you for life. And Lord, we wouldn't be here if you didn't want us to be here. And you gave us a specific day that we would be born. And we're so grateful, God, for all that you're doing in our lives and for us even just being here. I pray a blessing on all these that have a birthday this month, Lord God, and that you would just show them your love and your mercy and your grace and give them gifts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many know when God gives you a gift, you've got a gift, right? We could use a lot more, Gus. Excuse me. Typically, we take communion on the first Sunday of the month as well, for those of you who haven't been here before. but unfortunately, there's a shortage of grape juice in the refrigerator, and so we will do that next week. And so I apologize for that. A little bit of oversight there. Is there children's group today? Any children want to go downstairs? Oh, yeah. Lord bless the children. Lord bless the workers. We have a really good group of children, I'll have you know. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Amen. Yes. My microphone's not on? It says it's on.
Check 1, 2.
Yeah. I think the air conditioner might be. Can everybody hear me? You can hear me now? Can you hear me better now? I'll try to speak loud. I'm kind of excited about this morning's message, so chances are I'll be speaking loud enough. Amen. Filling your own love tank. For those who haven't been here, we've been talking about the 5 love languages, which is based on a book written by a man named Gary Chapman. And what it's all about is learning how to speak love to somebody in a way that matters to them. And I have found this to be just a very powerful series to preach. I've heard many testimonies of how people's lives are being affected when they have finally come across some information and just some simple knowledge about who they are and who the others are that are around them, and have a better idea how to show God's love and how we experience love ourselves. It's been very interesting. But something that I've come to realize is that not everybody knows how to, and especially if you don't, you know, have any idea what your love language is. Many people tend to fill their love tank in a not so good way. And what I'm talking about as far as a love tank, the author of the book mentions that each and every one of us have this inner tank that needs to be filled with love. And you know what? It may be that same, you know, place that people talk about, that void inside that only God can fill, you know, that type of thing. But we all have within us this love tank, that this desire to be loved. And when that tank is emptied, generally speaking, our emotional state is not very good. But when that love tank is full, then we are fulfilled in life, and we find happiness and joy and peace, and we love living. Anybody run into somebody? Have you ever experienced that person that just loves life? Yes. Oh, you have a good example, nice and loud, if you're going
to
share it with us. Oh, yes.
She was the best example I've ever seen.
I have to, yes. My wife wants me to share a testimony. We ran, There was a young lady, I call her young lady because we graduated with her in high school. By the way, for those of you who don't know, this is June, birthday month. My birthday was in May. My wife's birthday is in July, and my sister is putting on a birthday party for us on June 20th on Edwards Road at the Sportsman's Club there. And so if you'd like to attend that, you're all welcome. And I would really love to see you there. So it's going to be, we both turned 50 this year, and so that's why it's kind of a big thing. Excuse me? Oh, you're busy that day? That's okay. That's okay. I trust you. Absolutely. Okay. Oh, no. Okay. What Jackie just shared with us is that they were doing a fundraiser for Ronald McDonald House, a motorcycle ride, and they lost one last night, a fellow rider. And so, Father, we lift up the family and those who love this person. God, that you would give them comfort. And Lord, I pray for the soul of this one who lost his life. He was out there raising money for others. I pray that he knew you. I pray, God, he's in your arms right now. But Lord, those that are left behind, we struggle with the loss of loved ones and brothers and sisters in the Lord. And Father, I just pray your peace in God, that your comfort would just be upon each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Jean Qualitieri, this girl I was starting to talk about, she also passed away. She was diagnosed with cancer, and within 3 weeks of her diagnosis, she was gone. It was one of the quickest things. But you know, Jean was somebody that was full of life. Her love tank was so filled with God, it was amazing. We ran into her in Walmart one time, and she's jumping up in the air. We see her down there. She's talking to somebody. She's jumping up in the air, and we're like, Jean, what are you doing? She's like, rapture practice. You know, she's jumping. It's like, but she was just one of those people, just a joy to be around. When you get in their presence, it's just so full of life, and it just rubs off. That's somebody who is fulfilled emotionally, somebody whose love tank is full. But you know, how many of us know people who try to fill that love tank, try to find emotional fulfillment in other ways that are not healthy? And chances are, most of us have done that at some point in our past. We've tried to find fulfillment in things that are destructive for our lives. And so today, what I want to talk about is filling your own love tank. Because it's not everybody around you understands your love language or how to speak it. Now, when I talk about love language, I'm talking about, for those of you who haven't been here, we have actually a little test if you want to find out what your love language is. But I would encourage you also to get the book. It's called The Five Love Languages. We had some that they're sold out now. But you can get them online. You can get them, I don't know, maybe Walmart or someplace carries them locally. I'm not sure. But you can even read it online if you want for free. If you just do a little Google on the internet for The Five Love Languages free, and you'll find a PDF file that you can download and just read right there for free on your computer. But the five love languages are these: words of affirmation is the first one he talks about, and that's just kind words, you know, just speaking encouraging words to other people. Quality time, that's, you know, time spent. If you're somebody whose love language is quality time, you just really enjoy spending time with people. Receiving gifts, if your love language is that, then you just enjoy receiving gifts, that kind of thing. Acts of service are just, you know, things that people do for you or things that you do for others. And physical touch. These are people that really, you know, their world is just filled when they receive a hug from somebody or that type of thing. And so those are the five love languages. I'm not going to go too in-depth in them because we've been preaching on them for the last 5 weeks, and so I've covered them pretty well, I think. If there's any more questions on those, we can certainly readdress those things. But basically the idea is this: what matters to you, the thing that really gives you fulfillment in life, that's your love language. And we've talked about this several times. For instance, my wife's love language, her primary love language is acts of service, and right close to that is quality time. And we've learned that there's other people here that share the same love languages, acts of service and quality time. And so if I want to love her in a way that matters to her, I do things for her. I have to do things for her. If I want to show her that I love her, then I got to get the vacuum cleaner out and clean the floor. I got to, you know, for her, the ultimate is when I'm remodeling the house or, you know, I'm doing something big. She really, it just blows her away, loves that stuff. But right close to that is quality time. And we can fill each other's love tank just by simply spending time with one another, focusing on each other's needs and just being there. You know, it's very powerful and it's very fulfilling. But not every day is there somebody there. Not all the time do people understand what you need to feel loved. And so what happens is we go throughout life not understanding even what our love language is, not understanding, and other people don't understand how to speak it in a way that matters to us. And so many times we wander through life very disappointed, very miserable, very lost and lonely, and really desiring somebody or something to give us fulfillment in life. And so I want to kind of give you something this morning that might help you to fill your own love tank. Where's my clicker? There it is. David in the Bible, I think, had this down, whether he realized it or not. David is a great example for us. I'm going to start with 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. What happened was that David and the army were out at Ziklag fighting this battle, and while they were out there, the Amalekites came and took off with all their stuff, took off with their wives and with their children and all their gold and all their stuff. And when they came back to camp and found it empty, they had a real problem. Everything was gone. And the people were distressed and saddened, and they wanted to kill David because David was leading them off in a battle over here, and there was nobody guarding the house. And so in verse 6 there it says, David also was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because of the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But it says, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Oh, if we could figure out how to do this. Here's a guy who comes home and everything is lost. Everything is gone. You know, our sister here this morning made mention of a friend, a close friend, who lost his life. And certainly, she's grieving. Certainly, you know, there's distress. But if we can get to this place in our lives, even in the worst of circumstances, where we know how to encourage ourselves in the Lord, we will certainly find fulfillment in life. We will certainly find that, yes, love still can flow, and our love tank still can be filled, even in the midst of the worst of trials. And so David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, how did he do that? Look at Psalm chapter 32. By the way, if you find yourself just really struggling with negativity, you just, nothing ever seems to go right, you don't know how to pick yourself up, I encourage you to get in the Psalms, read the Psalms. Just start at the beginning and go right through. You'll find great encouragement, you'll find great hope. But Psalm chapter 32 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit then is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long, for the day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in the time." For what cause? David mentioned there his groaning all day long and how the Lord's hand, it seemed the night was heavy upon him. That's somebody who's down. That's somebody who's distressed. That's somebody who is not at the top of their game, not feeling quite so fulfilled. But David says, "For this cause, everyone," in verse 6, "has who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you. This is the Lord. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. You know, that particular verse there, I really love, verse 8. I will guide you with my eye. I want to be so close to the Lord and know him in such a way that all he has to do is glance and I know which way to go. That's the type of relationship that God wants to have with us. So intimate. How many know what the look is with your spouse or your children? Every now and again, you know, you get that look. It's like, oh, I know what that means. Right? I want to have that type of relationship with God that all I have to do is see where his eyes are, what his eyes are doing, and I know his will. Verse 9, do not be like those, be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. David knew how to encourage himself in the Lord. He started speaking truth. He started speaking truth about, you know what, God, I'm a sinner, but in you, I'm forgiven. And that gave him great joy. He started speaking truth in that the wicked, they fall, but the righteous, God picks them up. And he knew that, how to encourage himself in the Lord. Look at Psalm 34, another psalm of David. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name forever together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. And the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And on, you can keep going, and you can see how David speaks life into his own bosom. Encourage himself in the Lord. And let me tell you this, it's very important that we encourage ourselves in the Lord. Psalm chapter 40, verse 2 says, he brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock and established my goings. Somebody who is in the pit, somebody who's in the miry clay, is somebody who is not very emotionally fulfilled. But he looks to God, and God raises him up out of that mighty miry pit. David encouraged himself in the Lord. The sons of Korah also knew how to do this. If you read Psalm chapter 42, it's a psalm that the sons of Korah wrote. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. I like what that says, the health of my countenance. You know what that's saying? You know what your countenance is? Your countenance is the you on the inside. You know, your appearance, your well-being, it's written right on your face. That's your countenance. I've had people that I've ministered to where one moment they're like, oh, my soul is downcast. And the next moment it's like, a new person. God has blessed me. God has heard my voice. He is the health of my countenance. When you encourage yourself in the Lord like David did, he fills your love tank. And you have a countenance. You're one of those people that when you walk in the room, everybody notices, oh my gosh, that person really loves life. And the reason is because we really love God. Isaiah said it like this, chapter 40, verse 31. We just sang it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If your love tank is empty and there's nobody putting anything in there for you, encourage yourself in the Lord. Nobody knows you better than God. Nobody knows how to give you fulfillment in this life more than he does. And so I challenge you and I encourage you. If you're down, if you're emotionally distraught, don't turn to the things of the world, as so many times we do. Turn to the Lord your God. Get on your face before Him. Get on your knees before Him and call out His name. And I'll guarantee you, anybody who calls on the name of the Lord, what's He do? He comes. He's standing right there at the door of each and every one of our hearts, and He knocks. If you open the door, I'll come in, He says. Open the door to God. You will find that your love tank will be filled by God alone, if that's what it takes. Now, I want to share some other things about filling your love tank. The best way to fill your own love tank is to do the will of the Lord. I could have just said this, but I put it on the screen because I wanted you to read it. I want you to see it. If you're an audio person, learner, then you'll just receive it because I just said it. But if you're a visual, I wanted you to see it. The best way to fill your own love tank is to do the will of the Lord. How many in here have ever done something ministry-wise, and when you got home, you were just blessed? Doing God's will is a powerful way to fill your love tank. Some of the things I do, you know, there are times I just went on a little trip and everybody's like, oh, yeah, you really deserve that. It's like, whatever. Thank you. I appreciate that you think I deserve that, and I hope you let me do it again. But the truth of it is, I find just as much fulfillment in the work that I do for God as I do twisting around those mountain roads on my motorcycle. Now, it's a little different, and I really enjoy those times. But God fills my love tank when I'm doing His will. And so I trust it was His will for me to take that motorcycle trip. Amen. Just saying. Doing God's will. I want to show you something. Nehemiah chapter 8, the people, after hearing the book of the law, you know, in Nehemiah, they had gone, they'd rebuilt the walls of the temple of the city, Jerusalem, and they got to this place where the walls were done, the gates were set, and Nehemiah, they pull out the books of the law and they read them. And in verse 10, Nehemiah says, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to them who nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And he was saying that to them because the verse just before this, they were weeping and crying because when they heard the word of the law, they realized they were out of God's will. And they read the word of the law. Now the people understood it. And they were repentant in heart because they were grieved and they were sad because of the idea that they knew they were out of God's will. And here Nehemiah encourages them. He says, go your way. This day is holy to the Lord. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And really what he was telling them is that, what I write, once they understood God's will, they were told that God would give them fulfillment as they performed it. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what he was saying to them. Once you start doing God's will, He will give you fulfillment. Now, I don't have to, I'm not here to judge anybody. I'm not here to point any fingers at anybody. Because if I do, I could point right at myself. But the truth of it is that how often do we really pay attention to doing God's will? Does it even cross our minds? Sarah, our bedridden servant, before you put your feet on the floor in the morning, pray, God, what is your will for me today? I think I've said that before. That might already be on the list. For those who don't know, I always pick on Sarah with that line. Before you put your feet on the floor in the morning, get out of bed. do this and do that. She's got so much to do. That's why I say she's bedridden. She doesn't even have time to get out of bed. She's praying all day. But it's that important that we know what God's will is and that we do it, that we perform it. Look at Matthew chapter 25. Most of you know the story of the talents, but I want to read it today just to, as a little refresher, or perhaps for anybody who's not really familiar with it. Starting in verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them." How many know that you got the goods of the Lord? That God delivers his goods to you. You've got them. He gives them to his church. Remember I talked a little bit about God giving us gifts? He gives us gifts to his people. We have his goods right now. "To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability." Let me stop there for a moment. He gives each according to his own ability. And I'm curious, you know that verse that talks about he won't give you any more than you can handle? A lot of people take that verse, and I didn't go and look in the context of it, but a lot of people take that verse and like, oh, so much hardship is on me, but God won't put more on me than what I can handle. But he will make a way. There's more to it, but it didn't fit my sermon, so I took it out of context so I could use it. But I find it interesting. He gives each of us according to our own ability. And you know what? Sometimes we see somebody. Matter of fact, I do this myself. There are preachers out there that I'm like, wow, if I could just preach like that guy. You know, we see other people doing things for God, and it's like, oh, if I could only do that. Well, you know what? If you're capable of doing that, God will give it to you to do that. But in the meantime, let's be faithful with what he has given us, however much or however little. According to our ability, he gives to us gifts in order to use for his kingdom. "And immediately he went on a journey." Verse 16, "Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled the accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord.'" You were faithful over a few things. You know what that phrase is saying? You did my will. You did what I wanted you to do. You took what I gave you, you invested it, and you gave it. You brought an increase. You were faithful. And because you did my will, I'll give you a reward. Now enter into the joy of the Lord. And he says the same thing to the second guy. The second guy comes along. He also received 2 talents, came and said, verse 22, "Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them." His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things." In other words, you did my will. "I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Doing the will of God is fulfilling. You want the joy of the Lord? Do what he's asked you to do. Do his will. Is there anybody here that does not want the joy of the Lord? Anybody? No, I didn't think so. We all want the joy of the Lord. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our fulfillment in life. It's the thing that just causes our love tank to be so much so that It doesn't matter what's going on around us, we're going to get through. And people are going to look at us and say, wow, that person has it going on. That person really is enjoying this life. How many people here, how many of us are really enjoying this life that we're in? There's a few. You know why? That you're enjoying this life? Because God has blessed you. And why has God blessed you? Because you're walking in His will. The last guy, he who had received the one talent, verse 24, comes and says, Lord, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Lord, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew. You know, when we get to heaven, there isn't anybody that's going to be able to stand there and argue with God. You knew. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and to him will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So everyone who has, more will be given. To everyone who does not have, even what they do have will be taken away. Everyone who does not have what? An increase. A fruit. An increase of what God has given. It's very important that we do the will of the Lord, church. If we do, He fills our love tank with joy. If we don't, oh, woe is me. Deuteronomy chapter 28 there, if I went and read it, and I'm not going to for the sake of time, you will find a whole list in Deuteronomy chapter 8. If you really want to understand what doing the will of the Lord will do for you and not doing the will of the Lord, what that will do for you, then go read Deuteronomy chapter 28 when you get a minute. Because it says, for those who will serve the Lord, you get all these blessings. For those who do not serve the Lord, you get all these curses. Let me tell you something. The person who is fulfilled, whose love tank is full in the context of Deuteronomy chapter 28 is the person who does God's will. Period. Now, what is God's will? Many times in life we struggle with God's will. And it is so simple that we shouldn't even be able to question. God gives us His will. And I started this whole series with it. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. This is God's will, that we love. That's why this whole series on love language has been so important, because we have to get the love right. If we don't love God and if we don't love one another, then we're in trouble. I was in a meeting the other day with a group of guys, and I asked them, how many of you are saved, even understand salvation? How many of you are saved? And they all raised their hand. But then partway through the conversation, there was one gentleman who was talking about how he was being mistreated and how he didn't like it and how he was going to reap revenge and how he, you know, there's no way. He even brought up the verse. You know, God says that if somebody slaps you on one cheek, you're supposed to offer the other. He says, I'm not going to do that. And I said, brother, you don't understand love at all. You told me a minute ago you were saved, but I'm telling you this. The Bible says it, and I think I have this verse. Maybe I don't. Well, yeah, I do. Look at 1 John chapter 4. It talking about love. First Peter, First John, chapter 4. Starting in verse 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." That we might, what? Live through Him. That we might have life. That we might have fulfillment. If we love God, guess what? He fills our love tank. Verse 10, "And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be," this word I always have trouble with, "propitiation." Propitiation for our sins. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. But this we know, that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen..." Guess, do you think your love tank is full if God's given you His Spirit? I think anyone who's filled with the Holy Ghost has a full love tank. Verse 14, "We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God has for us, God is love, He who abides in love abides in God and God in Him." Let me continue. "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because of as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us." Now, this is what I had to say to this gentleman. If someone says, "I love God," you just told me you were saved, you're telling me you love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. I called the guy out. I said, "I'm sorry. You don't know God and you don't know love if you're willing to give vengeance on somebody who has wronged you." Now, I'm not saying that we should stand in the midst and be abused by somebody, but I'm saying that if something took place, somebody wronged you in some way, it is not for us to return with vengeance. The Bible, God says, "Vengeance is mine." We are to love our enemies. And so I called this gentleman out. It says, "For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother." So what is God's will? The ultimate performance of God's will is simply to love God and to love one another. Now, how does this play out with what we've been learning lately about these love languages? Well, Mark chapter 12, verse, the end of 30, verse 31 there. Do I got it? Okay. Oh. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, it's important to know what your love language is. If you don't know what it is, we've got more of these little tests that you can take, and it's a very simple thing. There's 30 little questions there. It's a would you rather. You know, the first one, would you, I like to receive notes of affirmation, which is like somebody gives you a thank you note, or somebody gives you a card telling you how great you are, that kind of thing. Or just something encouraging, something loving. Or I like to be hugged. It's either or, and you circle the letter next to it. And you go down through and you answer all the questions. Which one you really would rather have take place? For, you know, another one. I like to sit close to people who I enjoy being around, or I like for people to tell me I'm beautiful and handsome. Hey, Louis, you're beautiful and handsome. I know you like that. By the way, I thank you. I saw you out there working so hard yesterday with the, in the dirt and the grass. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. By the way, I need somebody to follow Louis around. Not because he needs help, but because he would be a great mentor for somebody on how to keep the grounds of the church. Louis takes care of all of our trees. He takes care of the flowers. He takes care of the landscaping. He's the man. You want something to do for God, just go see Louis. He'll show you what to do. So anyway, you circle what best fits you. And at the end, you tally up how many times you circle the letter A, how many times you circle the letter B, how many times, and so on. And when you get all done, you find out what your specific love language is. And so we have those available. If you'd like one, let me know after the service, or let anybody know. Most people here have already taken them if you haven't, and we'll get you a copy of that. But love your neighbor as yourself. And I've prayed about this verse, and I've thought about this verse for years and years. It's like, oh, as yourself, what's that saying? And we've come up with all kinds of different things about what that's saying, as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. But as I've read this book, and as I've learned what my love language is, and I learned what other love languages are, love your neighbor as yourself. Is he telling me, now my love language is physical touch. My primary is physical touch. My secondary is quality time. It's very close. Is he telling me to love people the way that I like to be loved? In other words, if you're a person whose primary love language is words of affirmation, then give others words of affirmation. Love others as yourself. My wife and I went to a little dental clinic a few weeks ago, 6 o'clock in the morning. And there was this one worker there. Oh my gosh. She was definitely a morning person. All the rest of the people that were there at 6 o'clock in the morning were not morning people. This lady was spewing words of affirmation everywhere she went. And she was just so full of joy. And she was one of those who had a countenance when she came. And you could tell she was there. Everybody noticed her. Everybody heard from her. Anybody that looked discouraged, she encouraged. Words of affirmation, she just poured it out. She was loving others just like herself. I don't know if she even knew what she was doing, but it was very evident. She was loving people as herself. So if that's you, if you're a person that really like words of affirmation, give words of affirmation. If you're a person who is a quality time, your primary love language is quality time, or secondary, or what, you know, you can speak any of these love languages anytime. We all respond to them, and we all should give them. Quality time, if that's you, if you really enjoy quality time, that's how your love tank gets filled, well then you give quality time to somebody else. Sometimes just as a matter of just spending 5 minutes. I was over at my wife's father's house the other day. Rhonda's little daughter comes and jumps on my lap, plays, got toys. I don't know what it is about little kids. They just love me. They apparently see the little guy inside. But I, you know what? I didn't push her away. I didn't. Matter of fact, my buddy Lincoln. I love sitting down and having lunch with Lincoln. He'll talk your ear off. And you know what? I'll give him 5 minutes. I'll just sit right there and give him that quality time just for 5 minutes. Remy and different ones. If you need some quality time with the pastor, let me know. I'd love to just sit down. We have breakfast. Me and Troy spend some quality time together at breakfast on Tuesdays and different ones. But if that's your love language, then give that. If you don't know how to speak words of affirmation and you don't know how to do these other things, but you know what quality time is, give that. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you're a receiving gifts person, then give gifts to others. And it doesn't matter. You know what? I don't know if Gloria is a gifts person, but she likes to give gifts. What a powerful way to love your neighbor as yourself. And it doesn't cost much, does it, Gloria? It doesn't cost much at all. Remy, again, in the backyard, runs up and gives me a bouquet of dandelions. I got a whole yard full of them, but she wanted me to have those ones. Thank you, Remy. Love your neighbor as yourself. Acts of service. If you're a person the thing that really fills your love tanks, when somebody does something for you, you do something for somebody else. What we did yesterday. We showed up at a wedding yesterday. We were supposed to be guests. We got there and this had to be done and that had to be done. Another thing had to be done and we just jumped in and started doing. We just started doing. And they were so appreciative that we loved them like that. You know, we just, it's part of what we do. It's my wife's primary love language. And she jumped right in there and we just got busy. If that's your love language, give that. Your neighbor's gone and their yard is growing up to the windows, go over there and cut it for them. I'm thinking about wandering around the city and just seeing places that need something. Say there's a gutter falling off, say there's a lawn needs to be mowed or picked up or something. And just getting a group of church people to walk up, knock on the door and say, hey, you know what, can we take care of that for you? Acts of service. If your primary love language is physical touch, give physical touches to people. Now, I have to remind you of that verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. If somebody needs that hug, give them that hug. Somebody needs you to shake their hand, shake their hand. Somebody needs you to just pat them on the back, pat them on the back. And remember what we talked about when we talked about physical touch as a primary love language? That if you touch the body, you're touching the person on the inside. How many know that you can touch somebody in a very powerful way with never laying a hand on them? Reach out and touch people. What's that phrase, reach out and touch someone? Is that the phone company's model? Of course, in all things, properly and appropriately. But loving your neighbor as yourself, not only does it help fill their love tank, but when you're doing God's will by loving your neighbor as yourself, it helps you fill your own. And that is a very powerful thing, to know what your love language is and to know how to fill that love tank for yourself. Just in case nobody else is getting it for you that day, you can do it for yourself. And therefore, you are we lost? She's all right. If I had a nickel every time a child got loose. That's all right. God loves the children. Fill your own love tank if you have to. Fill somebody else's love tank every time you can. And now let me say this. If you're married and your spouse isn't speaking your love language, let them know what your love language is. Communicate. Be honest. And say, hey, it's not like... I had this conversation with somebody the other day who was trying to figure out how to please his wife. And I said, you know, well, what does she nag you about? I mean, just speaking language people understand. Realize it's not that she's nagging you. She's telling you what she needs in order to feel loved. Oh. It's that simple. If she keeps telling you the same thing over and over again, that's the thing she needs from you in order to feel love. Now, work that out through all your relationships. You got a coworker that's just driving you crazy, has this request or whatever, and it's like, you know what? They're communicating to you what it is they need in order to feel love. It doesn't matter whether it's your brother, your mother, your children, or whoever. Every one of us have an inner desire to be loved. And if we're not getting it, it comes out usually as a complaint or a problem, right? I need this. And we need to be mature enough as believers in God about loving our neighbor to say, I'll give that to you. Amen? Stand with me this morning. Let me give you another verse. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. What's that saying? You love your neighbor as yourself. You give out of your love language, and it comes back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I've heard this verse many times about finances. Oh, if you give money, it's coming back. I'm not sure that's what this verse is talking about. It may simply be talking about you give love, and it's going to come back. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Men give into your bosom. What's that saying? They're going to fill your love tank. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. If you don't love others, guess what? People don't want to love you. How hard is it to love the unlovable? The person who's just miserable, doesn't want anybody around them, it's hard to love that person. If you are that person, know that people want to love you, but they just can't. They're not coming over to your house. I'm sorry. You want love like that being poured into your bosom, into your love tank? Then give love. Last verse. A good man out of the treasure of his heart bringing forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. What's in your heart comes out. If God's will to love is in your heart, it's going to come out. And if that takes place, you have found a powerful means of filling your love tank. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the love that you give us. And I thank you, God, that you in your word teach us how important it is to love you and to love others and to walk in your will in this manner. And I pray for anyone in this place today, Lord, if there's anyone here with even a half-empty love tank, I pray that they would take this message that they've just heard and apply it to themselves and encourage themselves in you and look to you. And I pray, God, that you will fill their love tank to the fullest, to overflowing. And God, I pray that you would help us to recognize when our neighbor is in need of love and help us, God, to have the courage and the strength to go over and to love them. Father, help us, each and every one, to love our neighbor as ourselves. As we understand our love languages, may we give out of those love languages the same to others. And by all means, God, may we do your will in such a profound ways that when people see us walk into the room, they will know that our love tanks are so full of the life of God that they would want some too. Bless your people, God, as we love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thanks for coming. Tonight we'll be here at 6 o'clock. Brother Doug will continue in our study of walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's been very interesting and been good. Wednesday night, celebrate recovery. I look forward to seeing you there as well. If anyone would like prayer, come right to the front and we will pray for you. By the way, Sarah mentioned Harley needs some prayer. He's having a rough time where he's at. He's not able to go to church. He doesn't like Tennessee, and he's just having a little bit of a tough go of it. Oh, Mississippi, I'm sorry. He doesn't like Mississippi. And hello. Harley says hello. Maybe we should pray for this Mississippi. She's not too kind to Harley. Mississippi. God bless you. Have a great day. If you would like prayer, be praying for him.